Musings Podcast with Fairbairn and Russell. Hello and welcome to the Market Musings Podcast, where today we're welcoming Gaurang Torvakar and Eddie Travier from Coincilium. And it's good to have you both back on the podcast. Eddie, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Mark. Thank you for having us here.
Thank you very much. And Gaurang, I apologise, you're not from Coincilium, but we're here talking around Coincilium and, of course, the project that's going on. But how are you? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Mark. So, yeah, I'm from Endorse and Blockbots.
Yeah, Endorse and Blockbots, yes, which we'll be covering today. And Kenny, of course, joining us.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on, guys. I think it was maybe a couple of months ago we had this kind of format with Gaurang and Eddie on the podcast. And we were just saying before we started recording, you know, there's been some amount of progress in the Blockbots side of things. So we'll get onto that in due course. But I think it'd be great if one of you guys, and you can maybe take a turn each, you can maybe explain to our listeners what is the metaverse? Because every time I'm looking in Twitter or on the web, this word seems to be popping up all the time. So what is the metaverse, and how can people get involved in this?
I can start if you want. No problem. The way I see the metaverse is kind of an aggregate of different virtual worlds in a way. So spaces where people can interact through avatars. And obviously, Gaurang will mention the Blockbots are this kind of 3D avatars that people can use in a metaverse. But metaverse basically is not just one single space or virtual world. Metaverse is basically the term to design all of them. And at the moment, we see a very interesting trend in the world of blockchain is that it seems that the game developers and the metaverse developers around the world have understood that in order to have assets and to have value in a metaverse, then it's really worth building it on blockchain, or at least linking it to a blockchain-based system or a blockchain protocol. Why? Because only on blockchain you are sure that you know in a decentralized manner you can have value, and the assets of the metaverse, which could be a virtual land, in-game assets, avatars, and so forth, and obviously some kind of credits or game points, where all these assets can be NFTs or tokens of some kind, and therefore you need the underlying blockchain technology for that.
Yeah, and I'm just actually reading an article just now. It's something that I put in my favorites the other day. It was actually the Bank of America that predicts within the next couple of years that the metaverse will be a $1 trillion opportunity, and that seems astonishing from something that's only came around in the last couple of years, or came mainstream anyway in the last couple of years.
Exactly. So Kenneth, for me, metaverse is the future. So in the future, I believe everything is going to be in the metaverse. Not immediately, but 10 or 20 years down the line, the has changed the world. The way e-commerce has changed the world, I think metaverse is going to be just like that. And I believe that metaverse is going to be at the intersection of e-commerce and social media together, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, already you can start doing these things, right? Already you can actually buy things in the metaverse. You can have different experiences in the metaverse. You can actually socialize with your peers in the metaverse. So just last week, we had a Blockbots party at our Blockbots headquarters in Crypto Voxels, which is a metaverse. And we had 70, 80 people actually attending the party. So what we had done is on the rooftop, we had created a nice little dance floor. We had DJs live streaming from Berlin, Germany. And we had people attending from all over the world. Like, wow. That is not the future. You tell me what is the future. This is just the beginning.
That's cool. I wish I'd known about that. I would have joined and experienced it.
Yeah. It was for all the blogboard holders, actually. And Okay. Yeah, it was really cool. So on the first two floors, we had a blogboard museum. We had a power-ups museum. People could go there, see the blogboards, actually buy them as well. And as I'm saying, that's just one use case of the metaverse, dancing and clubs. There are so many different things you can do in the metaverse. It's just astonishing.
Yeah, and there's some companies out there that are, you know, that are multi-billion dollar companies. I think the most popular one that everybody would probably have heard of is something like Axie Infinity, which seems to be the sort of number one sort of play-to-earn game in the space at the moment.
Yes.
Axie is correct. The biggest one. We also have several other games. One of them is Zedrun. So Zedrun is on Polygon, Axie Infinity is on its kind of own blockchain, thing, Ronin. But I believe that all these games are going to be built in the metaverse quite soon. And if you look at something like Sandbox, right? So Sandbox, yep. I love Sandbox. It's so amazing, right? So you have these things called lands in Sandbox, right? So if you look at a one by one land, which is like just one block of land in Sandbox, on that one by one land, you can actually create your own game, and that too from a template. So you don't need to have any coding experience. You can go to the game maker in Sandbox, you can create your game, and you can host it on your own land, which is amazing. And now if you think about this, if you extrapolate this, right? So Sandbox has, I think, 160,000 lands. So there is a potential to have 100,000 games in Sandbox. It's just amazing. So imagine like what you can do, right? So you remember you used to play these computer games like Doom and Dave and all these things. You can build those kind of games, and you can build even more amazing games in Sandbox, Mindbox.
Mm-hmm. And Facebook, of course, have positioned themselves, haven't they, ready for this with the whole rebranding thing. They're certainly betting on the future of the metaverse.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. So Facebook is coming in, Microsoft is coming in with its own metaverse, I think.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen, I think, is in the future, not even the long-term future, but I would say in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll have multiple metaverses. So already there are like crypto, in the crypto space itself, you have 4 to 5 big ones, you know, Decentraland, Crypto Voxel, Sandbox, Omnium Space, all these things. But outside the crypto space as well, you will start seeing other metaverses popping up. So just like social media, there won't be one metaverse which rules them all, right? Each of these metaverses which will have their own niche audience. So, for example, young people don't use Facebook anymore. They're mainly on Instagram and Snapchat. Similarly, you'll have different kinds of target audience for each of these metaverses. Yeah.
And it's probably worth explaining as well. Maybe Eddie, you can explain this. So, play to earn. I'm still trying to get my head around this. I'll be 50 next year, and my days of gaming are long gone. My generation was ZX Spectrum and things like that. I never quite got to the Xbox and the PlayStation. So what is play to earn, and how are people interacting with that these days?
Yeah, that is something we're looking very thoroughly at Coincilium. I mean, being in the NFT space, we have seen the birth of play to earn in the sense that, as Gorang was mentioning, Axie Infinity is the most successful one so far, at least in terms of, you know, wallets, active users, and they've already had a volume of about $3.4 billion since they started. So, you know, it's basically the largest player in the play to earn space. So the way it works is that, because again we are in a game where everything is tokenized and where everything is an asset, you cannot join the game if you don't have an NFT, which is going to be the same way for blockbots, right? If you don't have a blockbot, you cannot join the game itself. So you need an NFT to be kind of your access to the game. And once you are in the game, you can earn tokens which have a value, and in some countries, especially countries with, let's say, low income or like for example, the low income wages like the Philippines, and also, of course, the population that like these games as well, it has become almost a monthly earning lifestyle. You know, people who play, you have hundreds of thousands of people who play the game regularly every day, and they manage to make, you know, $500, even more on a monthly basis, which is very much equivalent to a salary in certain countries. So the interesting thing is what is around it. So, for example, the guilds are these organizations which help the gamers come in. They help them getting set up to play the game. And at the same time, the guilds need to lend NFTs assets so that they can play. And that's where, you know, Coincilium could come in the sense that, you know, we bought about 10% of the BlockBots NFTs. And we may look at something like this, or even on other games, of course, not only on BlockBots, but, you know, we could do the same. So we could have NFTs and we lend them out to players. And then through the guild, we get a return, kind of a revenue share on what the gamers make. So Play to Earn has a direct kind of model with the gamers, but also a financial model for NFT owners and becoming NFT lenders.
Yeah. So it's almost going like, renting out your block box basically for potential revenue streams. That's what you're saying, Eddie.
Yes, it creates potential revenue streams because the games are usually token based and the tokens have a value. So at the end of the day, whatever you earn through the game has a certain value. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is a revenue generation there for the game operators and as well the NFT owners, the gamers, and the guilds. So there's a whole economic infrastructure that is getting built around these platforms.
Yeah, I think it would probably be good for our listeners as well, just to refresh us on the BlockBots story. And I think it was, like I said earlier on, a couple of months since we last spoke. So maybe, Garang, you could give us an overview of where you're at with the BlockBots project and, you know, what are the main components of it?
So we started working on BlockBots a few months ago. I would say July, August this year. And since then, we have come a long way. So we have already launched the BlockBots collection, the NFT collection. So in that, we have about 3,000 Gen 1 BlockBots, Generation 1 BlockBots. We just launched the PowerUps collection yesterday. So we launched BlockBots on Ethereum, but then we had some issues with gas prices and all these things. As you know, Layer 1 blockchains are really expensive right now. And hence, we decided to launch the PowerUps collection on a Layer 2, Polygon. So PowerUps are on Polygon. People have already started minting PowerUps. So since yesterday, hundreds of people have already minted the PowerUps. And the next big thing for the project is the Play to Earn game. So we'll be launching the Play to Earn game in Q1 next year. We have already hired a game designer. We are working on the game mechanics, the gameplay, all these things. And we have some really exciting things planned up for that. So as Eddie was saying, in order to play the game, you will need to have one BlockBot and also at least one power-up. And that's why we are going to put out a blog post today saying, why do you need to win power-ups? Because you need to have these power-ups so that you can win the game against other BlockBots. Right? That's just one of the aspects of the game. Second is we might also have some BlockBot matches where you need to pay IND to enter the matches. And the prize pool will be in IND tokens as well. IND are the endorsed tokens. And we will also have some kind of like a championship league or something where you keep on playing matches and the prize pool goes on increasing. As let's say like 100 people enter the league, each of them pays like an entry fee. All of that goes into the prize pool and the top three winners get a share of that prize pool. So there's a lot of ways for people to actually start getting the rewards, start earning money through these games. So we are working on some really interesting ideas. Yeah. I'm excited for Q1.
Yeah, it's almost like esports in the metaverse. That's my way of kind of understanding it now. I mean, obviously, esports has been booming in the last 5 or 6 years, it's now, you know, the metaverse is providing opportunity for gamers as well. So, no, it's really interesting, and I've been astonished as well at the growth of the Discord server. I think I joined it in the very early days of the first couple of hundred, and I think it's close to 50,000 members in your Discord server now.
Yeah, it's more than that. I think it's close to 40,000 now, so it's just growing like crazy.
Yeah, it's an astonishing level of growth from, you know, in the last couple of months. And obviously, Eddie, Coincilium, you have a percentage of endorsed as well, as well as a chunk of the tokens.
Yes, we have we made an equity investment in the very early days of Indoors in 2017, and through several tranches we got to about 10% of the equity of the share equity of Indoors. Mm-hmm. And in terms of tokens, yes, we have about, you know, 5 million plus Indoors tokens, as we, you know, we announce regularly on our holdings. And that also represents a good share of the Indoors tokens in circulation. So we're very happy to see that Indoors will be, the token will be an integral part of the game. And that will give it a new utility as well, in addition to its existing utility around the original Indoors model. And that will be great because, you know, in-game assets are doing very well. You know, Axie Infinity tokens obviously are doing very well. But also, like Gorang was mentioning, you know, Sandbox tokens are doing very well. So I think there will be some interest for crypto traders and crypto holders to look at IND under this new light, which is a gaming aspect.
Yeah, and also you've got, I think you said earlier on, you've got 315 block bots as well, which is about 10% of the total circulation. So you've almost got like a three prong investment with Endorsed, which is it gives you a good spread. So it does a potential revenue streams anyway. So yeah, I'm excited to see what happens, and I might need to, even though I'm 50 next year, I might need to have a look at it and see what it's all about. I know my kids are more into gaming, etc. So I'll maybe ask them, because they seem to know everything nowadays. Mark, you're a bit younger than me. Have you looked into this metaverse?
I have looked into the metaverse. I was looking around Upland. Where else did I go? I went somewhere else. It was possibly Sandbox. I can't remember. I buy into the idea completely. I think, as Gaurang said, it's going to be the future. I think there's so much that can be done there, and it will be an extension of our lives. The problem that I have with it is, I don't know if it's because I'm, you know, obviously getting older as well. I'm not that old, but you know what? I start to feel sick when I enter these things, even if I've not got the goggles on. Just looking at the screen, I mean, I remember when I was young and we wanted my dad to play games with us, and he couldn't play first person games because he said he felt sick. And I wonder if that's happening to me. But that's my only worry going into these things, because I have tried VR goggles and it's great. I mean, for the first 20 minutes, but then I really start to feel unwell. So I don't know how I overcome that. And I'm sure I'm not immune. Sorry, I'm sure I'm not unique in that regard. But yeah, that's something that needs to be addressed, I think, for me to be able to actually enjoy it a bit more. But I certainly see the future of it. Yeah, it's going to be here for, well, it's going to be what we're going to be doing in the future. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting world that we're going to be living in, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'd also be good as well, Eddie and Grang, if you could maybe just give us a brief overview, a snapshot of what's happening in Coincilium at the moment. And also Endorse, obviously, Grang, at Endorse, you're probably, most of your resources are being put towards Blockbots. But have you got anything else planned, or any other ventures, or anything you can share with us?
Go
ahead, Gorang. Go ahead.
Yeah, so at Endorse, our main focus currently is Blockbots, as you said. But we also have some ongoing projects. That's where we have been using INT historically. So, you know, we have been doing coding assessments at Endos, and those projects are ongoing. We are working with some enterprise customers in Singapore that includes some top-rate universities and the biggest bank, one of the biggest banks in Singapore. So all those projects are ongoing. They will continue in 2022 and maybe in 2023 as well. So that is like a already existing revenue source for Endors. Yeah, as an Endors, as a company, we are doing quite well, I would say. Let's see now how Blogbots fares. But I'm really confident about the future of Blogbots, and let's see how it goes.
Perfect. Eddie, just give us a wee snapshot of your coin selling status now. You've got quite a few ventures on the go.
Yes, it's going very well. I mean, we see the, you know, and that's linked to the, I mean, the NFTs as well, but we see the space basically broadening, expanding tremendously. I think we're getting to the point where we can see a much more global cryptocurrency adoption on different levels, DeFi, which is an area we are exposed through our interest in IOV Labs and the work we do with them as well on the, you know, they are the ones that operate the RSK and that maintain the RSK protocol and the RSK blockchain. So DeFi is one of those areas, but obviously, again, as we discussed with NFTs, we're going into industry sectors which before we're not so, we're more on the fringe, but we're not directly involved with crypto. So for example, you know, entertainment, sports, you know, we have huge entertainment companies now doing partnerships with NFT projects. You have a lot of investment going into sports collectibles. You have celebrities, sports celebrities having their own NFT collections and so forth. I think a lot of that means that people who are necessarily were not really interested in crypto or blockchain start using it without really worrying about it. You know, we're getting to the point a bit where we are today with the internet. You know, in the late 90s, when we were using the internet, we were always extremely self-conscious about the fact we were using the internet. Oh, great, I'm on email. Great, I'm on an e-commerce platform and so forth. And today we are not conscious at all. You know, we're just using it because it's there and it's practical. So I think we're getting there with crypto, and that offers a lot of opportunities to companies like Coincilium, because, you know, our investment portfolio, obviously a lot of our companies are going to benefit from that. And any new venture is going to go in that direction as well, which is crypto adoption. And making sure, again, you know, you mentioned esports, and I agree. I think the big difference between esports and blockchain games is that the monetization is so much more direct. You know, you see your wallet changing. You know, you see the tokens coming to your wallet as a gamer or as an NFT owner. And with esports, traditionally, the first thing you have to do is you have to buy games. Maybe you get sponsored. You know, the monetization aspect, nothing can do as quickly a settlement and has a direct monetization effect or monetization model than blockchain and crypto, and that is going to bring, you know, a majority of people and a huge amount of people on board of blockchain and crypto, because, you know, artists are making great money right now within the NFT space, but more importantly, they're making money directly. They're not going through agents and middlemen and so forth. You know, they are producing, they're selling, and they're selling directly to art collectors. And, you know, with Blockbots, you know, Indoors is producing a game or is producing an NFT and selling directly to NFT owners. You know, we're removing so many layers there that I think it's the only way forward. So very excited about all the opportunities that this is going to bring.
Also, just adding on to what Eddie said. So what I feel is that for non-crypto people to really understand crypto and to really understand what this means, I think NFTs and metaverse are the most tangible things for them, right? So earlier, like 3-4 years ago, people used to say, hey, you buy a Bitcoin and then what? Like, what do you do with your Bitcoin? What do you do with your Ether? What do you do with all your coins, right? But now they can actually spend those coins. They can buy things and They can, you know, touch and feel them. They can see those things on their computer, in their wallet. And I think that's like a really good gateway for non-crypto people to, and also for crypto to become mainstream. So I think NFTs are paving that way for, you know, non-crypto people to adopt crypto.
NFTs are probably the first entry point for people that are probably my age. You know, it's probably my age group that the people are a bit reluctant to get involved in crypto because they don't understand it. But I think that NFTs will potentially be their first entry point. So, no, I get it. I mean, obviously, I'm heavily involved in crypto and I've got endorsed tokens, etc. So, I mean, I've embraced it fully. Don't get me wrong, it is a bit of a wild west out there and you've got to be careful. And I've made a few mistakes, a bit similar to share investing, I suppose. But, no, it's a whole new world out there, and you either embrace it or you bury your head. And I chose to embrace it. There was one thing I wanted to bring up, Eddie, that caught my eye the other day was and obviously you mentioned IOV Labs. So the government of Gibraltar have now partnered with an exchange and IOV Labs to basically run some of their systems or departments on the blockchain, which seems to be a first.
Yes, I think that's a great news for all parties involved and for, of course, for Coincilium as well. As you know, we have an interest in IOV Labs and our chairman, Malcolm Pally, is also on the board. So yes, I think it's great. I mean, it goes in the right direction. It's a very different level than what we have discussed so far because, you know, in a sense, it goes more into the actual technology of blockchain and how public sectors and governments around the world can benefit from using blockchain to streamline, for example, administrative processes and at the same time make large databases interoperable and let's say more efficient in a way. So it's kind of a completely different, episode, if you will. We could discuss it more in details, but yes, it just came out and it has just been public recently. And yes, we look forward to see where this is going, but very, very positive for all the parties. And it's great that governments start, you know, in a very public manner, start demonstrating that they are going to use blockchain for, you know, for different public services, let's say. And I think that's great. And I'm sure there will be many more coming.
Yeah, the kind of things that spring to mind is like your driving license or your passport or maybe some, you know, national identity card or national health service records. I mean, the list is endless. You know, the government departments, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. So, you know, birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates, you know, it's just an endless list of opportunities. So, yeah, no, it's definitely an exciting sector to be in. And obviously both Endorse and Coincilium are involved with Nifty Labs as well. Can you maybe give us an update on that, guys, if you don't mind where we're at?
Yeah, this is going very well. I mean, Endorse is the, let's say, the partner in this collaboration, and of course, bringing all the talent and expertise to the table and enabling us to work on different projects. I mean, this is ongoing. We announced earlier on the progress on different projects, some of them involving IOV Labs as well or RSK, and of course as well involving NFTs, but we will update this about Nifty Labs probably soon again with the help of Endorse. So at the moment, yes, everything is going well.
Excellent. Sorry, Mark, I've been talking too much. If you get anything to ask,
well,
you guys?
I think we covered most things there. I mean, the only thing I want to know, Eddie, is really, from an investor point of view, what's the kind of proposition with regards to Endorse? Is it the percentage holding in the company that will then at some point pay dividends to Coincilium? And also, what else is Coincilium looking at again to make that investment proposition to shareholders?
Yes, obviously, you know, all our equity investments can appreciate when the companies that we invested in are doing well, like it's a case, for example, for indoors. So that's a main, let's say, exposure we have. But as you can realize, you know, we have a closer relationship, which is great, which means that we're working on different levels, including, as we were saying, you know, Nifty Labs and of course, we are supporting their NFT projects like Blockbots. We also worked on hackathons together. We have co-organized a couple of very successful hackathons, one on NFTs called NFT Vision Hack and another one before on called Post-COVID Hack. So yes, in terms of some of our portfolio companies, we have a closer relationship, and some of them, of course, are more of a purely financial relationship. So in terms of the value proposition to investors, you know, we continue to expose them to this sector in general. But obviously, we're also looking for opportunities, as we mentioned in the earlier this year. You know, we're looking at opportunities in the DeFi and NFT sector in general, because, you know, these are sectors that are growing very fast. So we will update as soon as we have news on that. But we were working hard to identify these opportunities and to make the most of it for our shareholders' value.
Yeah. And of course, these ventures are all backed by a substantial treasury, maybe.
Yes, yeah, we have benefited from the fortunate direction of the market now for more than a year. I mean, the market has been good, so our crypto treasury has increased, and we have raised a little bit of funds, so we are fine cash wise as well. We have a good cash position. So yes, so this means that we have free hands to go and pick and choose the best opportunities out there. Definitely, it's a great situation for us, and we intend to make the most of it.
Yeah. And obviously, you had a bit of a cash injection in the last couple of weeks with a strategic investor. It was almost £500,000. And he paid quite a premium to the share price at the time to get those treasury shares.
Yes, I mean, obviously, we all know that if somebody tried to actually buy a certain that number of shares on the market price would go up as well, obviously. But yes, I think it definitely shows confidence by this investor in Consilium and its direction. And I think it was very, very positive for Consilium, for us, and for the the overall shareholder community. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just looking at the treasury stats just now, and I think in the last 14 months or maybe 15 months, I think it's times 7. So, yeah, I would take times 7 in the next 14 months as well. That would do nicely. But so it's crypto. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So, but no, it's definitely a great position to be in. You're cashed up. You know, you've got your internal treasury, and you've also got exposure to tokens externally as well. I'm trying to remember the name of the company. Is it Minty? Oh, you'll be able to tell me.
Yeah. Minty.art via startup token. Yes, that's another. Interestingly, Minty.art is also on Polygon, which is the same blockchain that Blockbots are using for their power-ups. As Gorang was saying, you know, Polygon is a layer 2. It means that it's much cheaper to use in terms of gas fees than Ethereum. And obviously that makes a difference to all the creators and the vendors, because, you know, you don't have to pay, and the buyers as well, because you don't have to pay huge amounts in fees, which is money going to the Ethereum miners. So yes, this is Minty is doing well, and it's kind of, they call it maybe gas-free platform, or a platform with very minimum fees for artists. And that's another aspect of the NFTs, of course, which is the art world, where it's doing very well. You have a lot of auctions at, you know, Sotheby's, Christie's of the world about digital art and NFTs. And so it's great for us to be exposed to that sector as well through that project. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, it sounds like you've both got a lot on your plate, so we will not keep you much longer. Mark, have you got anything to finish off with?
No, that's all good. That's all good. Thank you both very much for giving us your time today and just updating us on the where the metaverse is at, and of course where Coincilium is positioned in this space. So thank you both, and of course with it being December, wish you both Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, and let's see what 2022 brings for Coincilium and Indoors.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kenneth. And Merry Christmas to you as well, and Happy New Year.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for the interview. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Ben and Russell. Tune in next time.